question. I'm not sure whether we should keep the last part of the last sentence to cure the ministry. I would suggest that we just drop it in the amendment.
Either we end with amendment B or we replace ministry with another appropriate word. So I support the first one. On the second one, on 5.2, I do remember raising this question, referring to the Labour Relations Act, where the arbitration is an alternate process to the labor court, if you like, or to the court. So if you go the arbitration route, at the end of arbitration, the process stands there. I remember the clarity that was given, that except if you take it for review, obviously. Yeah. So I'm saying here, as 5.2 stands, I think that's the spirit that it was trying to capture. Just by way of background, and I think my colleague is not really open in that discussion, but just checking the efficacy of the minutes of them. And with the view, it had appeared that arbitration in particular, I wouldn't have said mediation for me, because mediation is just a voluntary process, yeah. It had appeared that arbitration, perhaps it could have been in bracket following mediation, are equivalent to the court of law, and the committee needed clarity in this regard. I don't know if my colleague is because I remember raising that issue myself, and as it stands, the phrasing is pretty okay, but I wouldn't put arbitration and mediation at the same level. They're not. So maybe arbitration follows mediation, in my logic. But as it stands here, I think there's no change in it. My colleague could be persuaded. It does capture what I had tried to clarify in our meeting and how I was clarified by the legal team. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can we move to page 3 of the
I just wanted to go to the 6.2. The support staff should investigate which board or committee that are appointed by parliament. I can no longer risk changing that minute, but I think there was emphasis that board should be appointed by parliament. But be that as it may, shall we request us to get a feel as to whether some groundwork has been done to just check that? The ITB is the only board I know that's not appointed by Parliament. All others across the department are appointed by Parliament.
just one day, we just wait for people to do just one check. We're just giving to the support staff to come back into the first. No matter the rest of the money, except the board when the state staff of the discussion is just a room. Part of the matter that we need to clarify is before we want to be paid that. Honorable Papa. I was thinking all of those six other resolutions that we need to check on all three.
For instance, one is the Plant Breeders Advisory Committee, which is set by the Plant Breeders Bill. It prescribes that the board should have 8 members. The members will be people with experts, with, you know, experts in particular fields and with specific skills and knowledge. So it put very clearly that that should be the number in the field of legislation. And further than that, for 3 years, those members are appointed for 3 years, and they can be accommodated. They can also be reappointed for another 3 years, but not more than that. The other one is the National Environmental Advisory Board, established in terms of NEMA. It prescribes that it should be 12 members, but not more than 50, representing stakeholders and persons who have experience, expertise, or skills necessary to enable the board to carry out its function. It is 2 years, and they can still be reappointed for 2 more years, but it shouldn't be more than that. You also have the Immigration Advisory Board in terms of the Immigration Act of 2002, and all of these are advisory boards, and they are appointed by the minister and not parliament. And what happens is, in some cases, there is a nomination committee that gets the names and it's established by the minister, that nomination committee, and it then sends its recommendation to the minister for appointment. What I thought it was interesting with the immigration advisory board is actually the composition where it specifies one person representing this department, one representing this, one representing that, and then it also gives an opportunity for the minister to put, I think it's about 4 or 5 people with certain expertise required for them to establish or oversee or advise the minister. Another thing is actually says that the director general is part of that board. And I thought it is interesting that in this bill, the extra bill that we're dealing with, we actually say that the board must advise the minister and the DG. And we all know that the DG is sort of the technical person, so in my view, it should be part of this board to advise the minister. But it's something that could still be discussed. And the last one that we looked at is the advisory board on social development. It's established in terms of the Social Development Act, or Act 3 of 2001. 9, but not more than 10 members appointed by the minister, or again 3. So in conclusion, those are the issues. But when we, so when we did this kind of work, we also looked at, so what is this, what are these boards that we are establishing in terms of this? And if the legislation is establishing an advisory board, is the board that is being establishing an advisory board? And we thought there is an overlap. Actually, in some of the instances, this board in terms of EFSA is very executive. I can give an example where the board actually will be doing monitoring and evaluation, will be providing legal assistance. So these are some of the issues that perhaps the committee should look at and say, are we establishing an advisory board, or is this something else other than the advisory board? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairman, for the clarification. Advocate, you want to say something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning to honorable members. On the issue of the appointment by Speaker Parliament of the Minister, we distinguish between advisory board or council and the board on decisions that are independent in nature, and their scope goes beyond the particular portfolio. For instance, if you look at the FDP board, it goes beyond communication, something that basically looks at the public as a whole. It goes beyond one particular department. Whereas the advisory board, this is a board that, remember, the minister determines policy. The minister also determines policy. So these are boards that address the minister in the implementation of policy. It's only fair that the minister who implements policy should know what people are going to be assisting from the minister. And that's why, in most instances, it is the minister of policy and the person committee support. I mean, I've looked at a lot of statutory councils, for instance. Some deals with professional issues like the health professional council, like the pharmacy council. All of those are funded by the Minister of Health, because that assist the Minister of Health in implementing health policy. General Affairs, which is from the Land Reform and the World Development. It's only appropriate that the Minister, who is going to be implementing policy, implements policy, be given for the appointment of the Minister. So that's the distinction that we have. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, this is indeed the case. This is an advisory board. It should not be accomplished under the practical board of the government. This one is located within the ministry. And also, it doesn't have a separate funding. It's already funded from the Department of Culture Board. So it's not that kind of thing. And also, that's probably the reason why.
We should not shy away from having the same thing so that we can pass the
I agree that this is an advisory, but I just wanted to perhaps raise a question in terms of, you know, 15C from points from C to I. And if you look at those, it seems to me that we are beginning to see this board going to, for instance, creating and maintaining a database, providing for mediation and arbitration, facilitating implementation of information dissemination, monitoring and evaluating the impact of related laws, creating mechanisms for provision of legal assistance, formulating a means testing. So if you look at those, is this still an advisory board?
Maybe get aside because I think the city just to get another that it causes like a duplication of functions. When you look at the functions of the board that has been indicated in the game, while there are people within the department that have been appointed to do the work, so can we just get the pipeline that's going to be.
Yeah, I just wanted to start by emphasizing the point that the nature of this advisory board is that it will advise as the field said, it will advise the minister and the DG and only in relation to the matters of tender. So the accountability for oversight purposes in Parliament is done by the minister for the DG. And the DG as head of the administration will also be advised about issues that arise. And therefore the board is accounted for by the minister. And for those boards that are appointed by Parliament, like the SABC board, that is directly accounted by Parliament. So for Parliament to effectively execute the constitutional responsibility or obligation of exercising oversight, in this instance, all of the functions listed here would be the function that the board will exercise in advising the minister of education about all of the issues that arise within the state. Which issues will be accounted for within the committee or in parliament by the minister. And therefore, Chair, from what I see of these functions, I do not see that it will be an overreach of the Western Parliament today, but rather it will be advisory to also make sure that the minister and the DG are aware of all of the issues that arise. Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to say, Chair. To answer the question related to the function, from the way the functions are captured in the bill, I do not see where I can say how that should be an accepting of the power that should be vested within the committee, especially if the function of the board is to advise the minister as well as the DG.
What you are saying is that the function of the board is still the duplication of the function of the department, not of the committee, but of the department. I think you were here when the public protector was making the presentation that we'll be wasting resources, since it will be wasting resources because some of the functions. There are people who have been appointed by the department to do them, but now the board is going to do the same thing. What are those people in the office going to do? If you still remember this discussion.
To guide on the guiding and overseeing of the land rights management committee and then advise the minister and the director general on the creation and maintenance of the database, and it's the wording of the changes to make it clear that it's advisory. This is actually another very key institution being created that can create duplication, and it also has implications in terms of how we do oversight. So I would suggest that we reword, we include the word advising throughout the clauses that indicates its functions to avoid that duplication.
The tricky issue is these functions that are not so advisable, but in essence are so desirable out there, as we are people are coming out there. People are saying we are not protected, we're not supported, we are on our own, we are guillotined. So these functions begin to really give so much relief to the people out there in the farm, right? That's one part. The other is the legal question about, would you say it's advisory if it's becoming a directive in a way? Because back to the chair's point, the legal protector says it is really taking over substantial scope of the department's work. I'm not talking really in the ministry, but the department's operational in terms of the. I don't know if we also had a hand up. I wanted to apply my mind almost foolish, but I'm on the brink of suggesting I had the one great leader reminding me of Slomo when he talked about constitutional revolution. I thought maybe, Chair, the ideal would be to get this board as an entity, constitutional entity, running and flying tenure security issues. Because land is becoming, as a portfolio, really central to everything. This portfolio is in the past 2 weeks now. I have thought that this must follow the main thing in the country. It's clear that it's temporary. You might think I'm politicking now, maybe. SASA is the main thing, but it's going to die down. But this land thing is seemingly the thing that's standing all time, Chair. So my view would be to persuade colleagues to say, can we live with this formulation as it stands? And remember that we have a tool of amendments once every 2-3 years or whatever. And look forward to amending it and strengthening it as an entity, fully fledged, perhaps even outside the ministry, or relating to the ministry in the sense that the SABC board would relate to the ministry. Normally. So may I suggest and persuade colleagues that we live with it as it is, because these sort of strong departmental executive functions, if you take them away, the people will remain unprotected. So if the board gets to be that busy as colleagues have done it, anticipate, I share his anticipation. Then at that point, we might then seek to amend and strengthen the powers of the board and so forth, Chair. But for now, for a start, because the very first time we have such a board, if I'm right, in the department, for now, under the name of FTR review, if then you establish a board, it's a good effort for a start, it's a baseline. Then in future, in the medium term, we can then amend, and with the experiences gained, you'll then be in a better position to then appropriately allocate its terms and its scope and so forth. And persuading yourself, Chair, therefore, to that extent that we live with it everything, and they be that busy, and then there could be amendment any other time. Any member is allowed to, and the department is allowed to, minister is allowed to, and the committee, as the committee is allowed to. So that's my persuasion, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Minister, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Honourable Member. I thought I could give a bit of background into the thinking that went into this kind of formulation and maybe propose some slightly different formulation. The issue of the establishment of the Land Rights Management Board was a recognition of the need for institutions to be built to support the work as designed in the maintain security policy in commercial farming areas. So indeed, it was perceived that you would need a body to advise the minister on and the DG on the tenure security measures. But the only thing that I would see, sorry, before I get to that, the only job, proper job that the Land Rights Management Board would have oversight on, the only institution is the establishment of the Land Rights Management Committee. So they oversee the establishment of the Land Rights Management Committee, which are based or are located at the district and local level. The issue then would be where the formulation could be changed. It's this facilitation, the issue of the database, I think you could add facilitate. The reason we went the route of the database, we have struggled over the years over the creation of a credible evictions monitoring system. Whenever you do it in the department, they say, no, it's not the correct information. It is done by NGOs, no. It is always a contested kind of monitoring system. So the thinking was that you needed a much more representative body to facilitate the establishment. Now if you look at the Land Rights Management Committee, they being at the local and district level are the ones which had the job of actually first of all seeing there's an eviction, reporting on it, making sure that there's intervention that's available, the Land Rights Management Committee that is. Again, very much like those of us who were involved in peace structures. The mediation function was based on a representative and inclusive structure. So the Land Rights Management Committee, because they would have local government, they would have all this, they would be the ones who typically would collect this information. So the information would be collected by the Land Rights Management Committee that then gets fed to the central database that is overseen by the Land Rights Management Board. That was the thinking. And I would think that maybe in the wisdom of the committee, you would want to say then facilitate. Because it has a facilitative role. It would not be in a position to do these things on a daily basis. But it could have a facilitatory role working with the resources of the department. I just thought I would add a little bit of background to say this was the thinking about it. It was certainly a recognition that the department could never do these things alone, but certainly the board itself. It could even, for instance, bring in additional resources on research or other people that it could outsource to do some of these functions, but certainly never doing the work of the department. That's what makes it thinking. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I don't think it's something we can leave until later and see whether it works. I really think there's a central confusion for me here. Is this body advisory or is it not? Because I do think there's implications in terms of going forward here, and I think we need to be clear if it's an advisory body, then it needs to be formulated that it's clear that it advises the minister and the department on X, Y, and Z. Alternatively, we need to get legal advice as if this is not an advisory body, then I suggest we compare our similar boards that are not advisory in nature actually have de facto executive function, how that should be dealt with. And this is it's very clearly not, it's very unclear to me. I don't think it's the kind of lack of clarity we should take forward. It's also the kind of thing that I can imagine create legal problems going forward. So I suggest either we make it very clear that it's advisory, Alternatively, we get legal advice as to a board that is not advisory in nature of this nature, how that was dealt with elsewhere.
Sometimes when you look at the things that they have to do, you find that even the operational are written, because you will find a clause at the end stating that they are at liberty to delegate the function to a lower structure. In this case, it would be the management, the vice management committee. So I'm not sure about changing the wording. I'm not too fussed about changing the wording where it says create or provide or identify. I'm not worried about those, because normally we should have a clause that says you can delegate those. What worries me is the separation of functions from what's happening in the department and what would be happening in the land rights committee. I think that's where the situation would be. It wouldn't be the board and the officials of the department. In my mind, it would be with the committee and the officials of the department. And if we don't clarify that now, it will create confusion going forward. I think an exercise has to be done where the job profile of people in the department that are affected, and I'm sure that we will correct me if I'm wrong, or advise even better. But I'm just worried that exercise hasn't been done. When we look at these land management committees and the department officials and say, is there a duplication there? Will they step on each other's toes and confuse the public going forward?
That's it. I welcome this with clarity and background. But perhaps I will be dealing with a lot of legislation this year on this thing. What we do, and I really advise the department part of the meeting, we go with the background and the narrative, like Sister is doing. We go to the legal, and I insist that they may not necessarily have the same legal opinion. There are three different teams, the team members there. One representing the department, one representing state law, and having an overarching the view of making sure that the coherence on how things are done within government as a whole, that's a different portfolio. One representing parliament, not looking at how things are done and in the manner you responded to see is some power that should have been the power of the parliament, the committee, you know, carefully checking and doing that from the point of the separation of powers. I know a gentleman called Manda Makupulu's the cooperation of powers, which should be like Chinese wall between them. I suggest, Chair, that careful approach, because sometimes you almost had a committee discussion for a compromise position, and then since we come and give the background, and clearly after the background we must then go back because we now have fresh information and insight. It makes the discussion to go back and forth. That's why I'm carefully raising this point. We should probably change for all. We're still going to go via many cycles. Start at the point of this we and the thought and the background and the what. Of course, from the questions raised, definitely. Questions would start from us. Then in the response we get that, we get the legal take. They may be different. They should be different in a healthy environment. Once they agree, probably it's either it's obvious or it's either one of the legal is not being legal or it's open. And then come to committee discussion stage where you then observe us bargaining each other to find common ground. Now, Chair, I come back because I had persuaded colleagues that the board is a milestone in that it's unprecedented in the portfolio of tenure security. We have not had it. And I had thought that for a start there was great work done. I still hold that opinion. And then as it unfolds, definitely it will. Like for instance, I heard President talking about the Land Commission becoming a Chapter 9. So it's a constitutional revolution.
And I would support when the president raises that and says it will give it more power, its decision will be final and all that and all that. So clearly, I had thought I wanted to persuade colleagues to this, but Honorable Walter says, which is the note I take, then there might be a constitutional fight. If anyone, if anyone challenges any part, either the board or the committee there, Honorable Babam, and then we found wanting as to what contradictions they were, I thought our legal team should have really carefully thought this. Because it's plunging, it is plunging us into a deep, deep, because now it lets us on possibly us having to go back and redraft. May I suggest this change? This was not going to be, in my reading, the final day of probable adoption. There was still an A list a year when you talk about that. May I suggest that the legal team goes back and they have a meeting? Because in my view, we don't prepare. I'm talking the other side, with respect to Mr. Ndinga. We don't really prepare coming to this meeting. I really see it all the time. I really see it all the time. Can I suggest, Chair, that they go back, have a meeting? Among issues would be this. Because probably we may have to redraft or replace whenever we advise. Or they must really please do some technical work for us. Because in principle now we can't find each other because, as Honorable Walter said, there could be a constitutional, a legal crisis, and we don't want to find ourselves embarrassed that we adopted something that's contradictory. And Chair, maybe they come back next week or 7 days next week with a formulation. If it can be ready earlier, circulated in by Monday, Tuesday, so that we can lobby each other and really rest it there. But the board is desirable.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. Given the contents of Clause 15.3, on page 7, the board may delegate its functions except for A, B, and G. It is virtually implied that this function that the board is being assigned to can very well be done by the main management board. That's basically what that clause 3 tells us. Land Management Committee. Thanks for that. That's basically what this says. And therefore, what is the point of assigning functions which in the same piece of law you say it may be delegated to somebody else? Why not just take up all those functions and load them onto the Land Management Committee straight away? Because, one, they will spend time, government time, trying to decide whether to delegate and which functions to delegate to whom. And then all that they would do, that is this board, would be to advise the minister insofar as these functions are concerned. And they are left with these three functions, A, B, and G, and then we rephrase whether they play an advisory role or functional role on that. Otherwise, definitely there is no point in us saying on a piece of law that they may. We're giving two the same functions to potentially two institutions here. That is my take.
Chair, I think over and above the legal concern, I'm also thinking practically. If it's not clear whether it's an advisory or kind of an executive body, whichever model you use here, I can also imagine, let's say, when functions get delegated to a district level, to the land rights management committees, exactly how do they interact in with departments? Who do they report to? So I really think we need to be conceptually clear on this. I don't think it's something that we necessarily have to have a big disagreement on, but it does affect, I can imagine, if we don't get it right here, it starts to affect what else is being envisaged in terms of the land rights management units, the district land committees, it has an implication throughout, if we're not clear yet. So I would support the idea that we get a proper legal opinion as to whether it's an advisory body and whether there's a rephrasing that's required, or alternatively, if it's not an advisory body, how is it done elsewhere? How would the delegation of functions work from there onwards? So, but it's not clear. It's definitely not clear to me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have taken note of the request that has been made, that we go and look at it. But we have discussed it already, and we have a preliminary view on it, which is that it is true when you read 15C, some of the functions suggest that they are implicated in it or operational in nature, which is not supposed to be the case, because the board is likely advised. And those relate in particular to paragraph C, D, G, and H, if you said that. For instance, C talks about creating a database. D talks about providing mediation services. If you look at G, it talks about creating mechanisms for legal assistance. And then H talks about formulating the means for it. Now, the rest is that A talks about advice, which is fine. If you look at B, it talks about guide and oversee. If you look at E, it talks about facilitate, which is still advisory. And then F, monitor and evaluate, is still advisory in its nature. Now, what we thought we could do is just ensuring that with regard to C, D, G, and H, you replace those paragraphs with the word assist, which means they assist in the creation of a database. They assist in the provision of it, because those functions are the functions of the department currently. But you need the board's assistance on the ground in facilitating those kinds of requests. So you agree that if you add the word assist before paragraph C, D, and G and H, then it becomes clear that the function is not operational, but assisting in nature and also advisory in nature. So it's going to require some amendment to just clarify that indeed it remains advisory and overseeing in nature instead of being operational. So even if you go back, that's what should be coming back to.
I just need the part of the something. I just need the part on page. Let's talk about formulate a limited government in which the board will fund legal assistance. Did you put that as advisory function, or would you like to withdraw that part, or what? I just want to get you very clear. I just wanted to have a clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The H will also reflect that the board is in the formulation of the mission. But I see that the system talks to the board finally. The board what cannot ever find it. Responsibility. That's why the minister in that response. And if there's a part that needs to be attached from paragraph H. The funding has to be used. But it must clearly read that the board will assist the minister in the commission of the minister so that it's meant for funding. Not about the
can I come back to the question? Can I still request here that the legal team as one go and give us options? Because it doesn't help to say you have met and you have, but the formulation still remains like that and we have no submission that we've done.
But next week or so, Chair, am I right? That next week we might finalize it. Then we sit and we take a coherent, because Honorable Walter points to me very exactly. We don't want to do something that will fail the legal test in any court of law. So that's why I'm keen that the legal teams actually sit together and come with various, perhaps two options, and say, we either apply with this formulation, it has this implication on the statute, and then we go back wherever and align it properly, or this formulation, and then and that's it. I would still feel that we're doing technical work now, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't, please. Thank you.
Honourable
Member,
can we ask you on the proposal that this team go back to the
I would wish to support the recommendation that the team goes back and the reformulating line of honorable policing. But I'm just thinking, Chair, that perhaps the wording and the reason to assist was perhaps also be subject to the decision. Because I'm thinking assist also implies cooperation. That we perhaps consider the word oversee, because oversee is more strategic function, that the board must in actual fact see that these things are happening. So I want the team to take that into consideration.
Thank you.
declared as the function of the Land Rights Management Committee. Do we agree on that proposal?
So I think we should have for you with the much wisdom. Thank you so much.
It does look like it's something that, that belongs at a municipal level, and we don't have difficulty with it. I actually had my hand up originally to say maybe one should say right up front, apart from the rewording suggested by the in support of the proposal Member McGlinney made. I think that there should be a rewording to clarify the advisory nature, and I would also like to suggest that we say right up front, when we say the board shall, that we look at wording that says the board shall be advisory in nature and shall, or something along those lines, that right up front, if it indicates the advisory nature of the board. And IMJ, if you look at the problems that the village need to address, it does make sense what the minister is suggesting.
So I agree on the proposal made by the minister with regards to IMJ, but in the other matters that they need to go back and redraft so that it reflects that the functions of the board will be an advisory board. Let's leave it that, members. Otherwise, we will be just rephrasing the sentences and rephrasing. We'll just refer the matter to the legal guru to consider the matter and come back to us. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay, let's proceed. I think it was clear why she was just presenting. She was clear on the board, on the board that is appointed by the minister, and also the board that are appointed by Parliament. And also it was clear that on the number of board members. And also she raised another thing of the term, that in other board members there's a term that's been reflected, that the board will serve for 3 years, and also indicate 2 terms that you are eligible to be appointed for another term, but not more than 2 terms. I think it was an eye-opener also to us. So the issues that we raised in our previous and our last week meeting have been clarified. Can we put it in the A list?
Maybe I'm misunderstood. The issue of the term length, how are we going to be dealing with? Maybe I misunderstood what was raised here, the length of a term. So are we happy with that? Or is the proposal that is what I might have missed?
I was just flagging that it was a new thing. I don't think that it was on the agenda that we had because it was a new thing that was been raised by. That is in that campaign. And then when we come to that, we just wait for the process of. Can we look at our, we've got our A list, this one?
Yeah.
And the pre-version. Honourable members, in our previous do you want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say, Chair, to advise that procedurally, if there are new amendments that are coming from members now, we should have to go and implement. That will then form the basis of the agenda. So the discussion there on the basis of the proposed amendments now would just be a discussion on those amendments. But not the end. The formal end is to come including the written suggestions.
And the functions of the board.
Yes, yes.
So, members, can we just go through the issues that we have not agreed upon last week, the issue of the number of the board members? I can see here, when looking at this, there was not more than 13 other members appointed by the minister. I think we didn't decide in our previous meeting. We said let them go and check. Then also relate that to the functions of the board, because the numbers cannot be the same depending on the responsibilities of each and every board. Can you just decide then the number of the board members so that when they go and make the amendments that must be taken into consideration?
I never read it to say, if we've got to open a debate chamber, we would have to endure provincial reps. That's the first point that I thought we need to discuss and be on that. But geographical spread as a principle, and don't just take people really in a very, very concentrated manner and leave in the rest. So, it, because this function is not a representative body, it's not like a district municipality or a local municipality or a provincial. In its nature, shared, the scope is defined. Let me also invite colleagues to think deeply. Geographical representation may even mean you might take people from all provinces. You take it in you take from a high city. You take from Joburg, you take Bloemfontein, you take Cape Town. You might have 9 different provinces and still not have a lot of people. So we must be very, very cautious and careful about the principle of geographical representation. Really. It might, one version correctly so of it might be rural urban, might be rural urban farm, and so forth. So I wanted to say, Chair, the number of 9 and persuade colleagues with that background that it's not referring to provinces. It's really referring to spreading and balancing out. Equally, if I raise gender, if I raise disabilities, if I raise the age, you know, the youth, the women. So that's the spirit. Being inclusive is the spirit. But not, there are no provincial rights. It's not an NCOP of some sort. That's envisaged. And then she moved from there and suggested that when Dr. Manenda next to me reported back to the committee on the various boards and the functions and the scopes, I listened very, very carefully. And all these boards are ranging at about 9, 8, these are the figures that came from his mouth. He never talked to me before that, not even SMS me. So it's not like the collusion. So Chair, I would support Honorable Madela, supported by Honorable Makata, that we, in that phrasing, we say minimum of 7 and a maximum of 9. The maximum of 9, let me talk to it and talk to the minimum of 7. Let me start with the maximum of 9. The board is funded from within the budget of the department, so it has no extra funding. The more you open the scope, the more you hit in resources hard. All other boards that we were talking about, I think they are not advisory boards, they are boards of statutory bodies, so they could have bigger numbers. Let me talk to 7, Chair, and risk irritating some of my colleagues as well. You don't want a board that will remain one day, one person, like the good professor at ABC board. So the 7 projects that you have a semblance of a team. So I firmly support the minimum of 7 and the maximum of 9. And I think it's fair, reasonable, equitable, and just, and it's with compensation, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think we must just go back to page 13 and close 2 at the bottom and let that guide us in terms of what we have said. Page 13, the board shall involve all the various structures and representatives of organizations invested in the land. Page 13, and then it says, but right at the bottom.
The last one.
I think you want to take that into consideration, but I take what our colleagues are saying, as long as you make sure that it does involve all the various structures, and I know that land being a very sensitive issue, you must just make sure that the number 7 to 9 will actually cover all of those.
Can you agree on the proposal of 7 to 9 to the board members? Because if you start discussing numbers, we'll end up tomorrow. The other one will say 15, the other one will say 20, the other one will say 85. Honorable Sister.
Thank you, Chair. Can I please say what Honorable Munguni said about provincial representation? I would actually strongly recommend that all provinces have representatives there. I have seen boards being made up mainly of people who reside in Gauteng. If you read what the statistical information is about, you'll find that there is this steady migration of capable people into Gauteng, because that's where you get good chances of employment. And so when applicants come in, you will find that a large majority of them will be people who actually reside in Gauteng. And then you get provinces, you know, where you get provinces that have got this real problem, and they haven't got a single representative with whom they can identify. And then it becomes a costly affair for board members to visit there. So I would say 9 to 11. Also, remember, and this board may not be made up of an odd number because of the 50% representation of women. It's got to would be an even number. Otherwise, I know it's minimal, but this is what the deputy minister advised us on, warned us on the other last week when he said this minimum of 50 could very well be, get to 90% or even 100%. So it looks like it may not necessarily be just an odd number. So let's take that into account. But I'm coming up very strongly, Chair, on the issue of provincial representation. That's why this is the whole provinces and the form that these problems are spread across the length and breadth of the country. So my take would be 9 to 11. Thanks.
Who proposes that now?
Look, I don't think this is an ideological matter. I think it's really one of those things that we're bouncing around. On the one end, I support the idea of you don't want it to be too big. I think we saw in the presentation earlier on, I think there were a couple that referred to a board of around 12, some that referred to a board of around 8, 9. So I think we have an idea of more or less what the functional size of this body is, will be. And I think there's, to me, there's in a sense two tensions. One is a fee of people that effectively work, and then the other one is ensuring stakeholder participation, because it by its very nature you need a diverse set of stakeholders, which requires a slightly bigger body. So why don't we do the logical thing and say a minimum of 7 and a maximum of 30? Then all those arguments are taken care of. If you want to maintain a fee, to keep the board small, if you need further representation, increase the size to 13. So I think it allows a bit of latitude for both arguments to be here.
I suggest that clearly, if they were to be voting, I know exactly which way it should go, but in just in the spirit of finding each other, I think let's agree here the minimum of 7, because no one differs with that, and take the maximum of 13. And I think it merits us all. It could then it depends on circumstances. I propose that we take that and then we move forward. Thank you.
For a change, that's my sense from the ANC.
I mustn't really lie, and honestly, I've forgotten. I think it comes between 3 and 5, but it was the sense of a need for the board to gel,
yeah,
and to really get its grip on its work. But I must look at my notes. I'm sorry.
Was there just an indication for such a time?
I mean, by the means, there was a need of
I would suggest 4 years. I'm looking at a number of things, but principally, I'm looking at the timing. In 2.5 years' time, we are going to have national elections. Now, when new government comes in, let's assume in this case that it's still the ANC. Let's just work on the unlikely.
I will take the slightly different stance from my colleague, if I don't say the same, but perhaps in slightly different from Honorable Lady. Perhaps it's not about the minister as a person from what I see, it's about a law. You know, if you do a law on the public protector, it doesn't matter which public protector you get. For me, from the principal issue, it's good in law to really try and entrench democracy, as in the state, in the constitution, the freedom charter, the law. And democracy means, for me, just defining the playing ground as fairly as possible. And I think that, Chair, from how it sits now, there might be a problem, as Honorable Zizi correctly put it, when the ANC is not in power, then the correct prediction is that you might get a minister who would have a board there for 20 years. I mean, you might get that. So in my view, Chair, and humble submission, the number, although Honorable Sultan arrived at the number from a very, very awkward angle, but the number of four is a fair practice. Remember, the board members are specialists and experts. No one wants to be invited to a board of 2.5 years and perhaps even 3 years. If I was expect, I wouldn't. When people in this board get appointed, even like the PP is both 7 years, the judge is both 7 years, some of the board members are high level like that. So the term of 4 years, Chair, is a fair is a fair one. I would suggest the first principle is that we have the number in the act. That's the first principle. I had the clarity from State Law about no. I would advise against leaving it open-ended like that, you know. The principle must be, let everything be laid down. You can trust the ANC with power, you can't trust any other party from where I sit. So if you leave it open-ended, then we're going too far at any point that we're going to take alliance with the others, and they come to power, they descend onto power, then they put people for 20 years there. So but at least after the ANC will propose 4 years, again, not a party political thing, but yeah. But I'm saying 4 years is a fair measure, it's a fair yardstick. Democrats roll out, it's really very, very fair. Thank you.
Honourable President, I raise a proposal of a 4-year term seconded by Honourable Ngoni. Do you agree on the term second? Or seconded by Honourable Matas? Do we agree, Honourable Matas? Honourable Members?
What's the first term in the point for 15 years?
Honourable Members, I think the issues that we highlighted in our papers all aspects, except one, Honourable Sultana and Honourable Robert Flynn. The issues that we have said, the support staff and also our legal gurus, they must go and check for us. I think we have addressed these issues, except the new one now, which has been raised, the issue of the functions of the court that they need to go back and reframe. So, due to the legal advice that we got, that we can't proceed with the ADs now because we've made that new amendment that we must go back and rephrase the functions of the board. Then let me clear on the issues that we've agreed upon. That we've agreed that our legal groups must go and rephrase the functions of the board. That I and J be relocated to the Land Rights Management Committee. That the number of board members, the minimum should be 7, the maximum should be 18. That the term of office of the board members should be 4 years. Do you agree, Honourable Members?
Yeah.
So then I think we can proceed with the issues that we're supposed to deal with today. They must go and just refine that and bring it back to us. But I will further request to Honourable Members to go through the report, the committee report, so that next week when we are done with this outstanding issue of the responsibilities of the board, we also look at the report and adopt the report. Thank you very much.
Honourable Minister.
Ready with the committee report, the draft committee report, so that next week to raise what you want to raise with regards to the committee report, so that we finance the tools is measured. There are lots of things that are coming before us, so not too late.